I want to say welcome to the studio to Garrett Roach. Thank you so much, Garrett, for coming in and bringing your very wonderful guests, who we've talked to one of them before, but not the other, I don't think. And Garrett, if you want to just introduce your guests and tell us who are they.
Yes, sir, Kieran, Mr. John Parker, a.k.a. Johannes Vrabel Parker, and Catskill artist and his dear friend, Ms. Barbara Green.
John Parker and Barbara Green, welcome to the Monday Afternoon Show. You're here in the studio. Thanks for joining.
Thank you, for having us.
All right. And John, we've had you on before. You've called in to talk about your book.
Yes.
Is that correct? And can you just refresh our memories a little bit? What is the book and what is it about?
Anastasia Romanov, who many people believe died in 1918, but according to my research has great credibility that she may have survived well into her 90s, dying in 1997.
And how does that relate to our local history?
Our local history is that I'm local, and I've been working on this for a long time. She did live in Chicago after she came from Europe as a refugee after the First World War, and then moved to Newport, Rhode Island. But when she died, she asked only to be buried in an Orthodox, Russian Orthodox monastery, which happens to be located in Herkimer County. And that's where her mortal remains are at the moment. And it's also the recipient of a well-endowed fund that she set up for them. That they will get money from this fund in perpetuity into the many, many thousands of dollars a year.
Unbelievable.
Yes, it is.
And we talked a little bit. So the book also, you were wanting to investigate a little bit further, and we were talking about the exhumation of the remains to try to confirm some historical facts, because sounds like we don't know the whole story officially yet.
We're in the midst of history at this moment. If you go to her grave, you will not find the name Anastasia Romanov on the cross. You will find in Cyrillic script Evgenia Smetisko. Now, Evgenia Smetisko, using that identity, supposedly was born in 1899. But if you look at the cross, it says June 18th, 1901. Well, that is the birthday of Grand Duchess Anastasia Romanov. I was a little bit astounded when I looked at the cross and I said, well, what am I looking at? I'm seeing one name, but I'm seeing the birth date of another person. So that was a clue that something was up. But then we used two-dimensional and three-dimensional biometric facial recognition, and it's a dead ringer. It's Anastasia. So we do need the exhumation. The powers that be would have to request that. We would need DNA. And then all things being equal, she could be reburied with her family in Russia.
This is fascinating. And we have, as I said, in the studio as well, artist Barbara Green. And you fit into the picture, no pun intended, into this wonderful, amazing story of the Romanov family here in Herkimer County near Cooperstown, New York? Is that right?
Very close to Cooperstown.
Near
Richfield
Cooperstown.
Springs, right.
Okay. And you're an artist who actually did a portrait, right? And you want to talk about that a little bit and how you fit into this whole story.
Well, John approached me and asked me if I would like to do a portrait of her and gave me a lot of photographic material, which I compared with family photos of Anastasia. And I started off skeptical, but after studying the faces, reading her autobiography in John's book, I am rather convinced that it's genuine. I really am. So I used a picture of her from when she was about 63 years old and actually made her look a little younger.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha. Well, where can we see that photo? Can we see that picture somewhere? Do you have it on? I mean, just not right now, this second. I just mean...
Actually, I have one of these.
There you go.
For
we
YouTube
can
appearance.
See it right now.
Yes,
well,
we can.
Look at
the
that.
Poor
well,
audience.
Well, you can't see it because you're listening to the radio right now. So, can one find this image online somewhere if one wanted to, or can we?
Yes,
how is that possible?
You could find it online if you followed my Twitter feed.
Okay.
At J. Froebel Parker, F R O E B E L. Otherwise, it is in storage in Albany, and I am planning another private showing of the painting, which I'll be very happy to let you and Garrett know. Maybe you could announce it to your audience, and then we'll open the doors and let people come in for a couple hours and take a look at the picture.
Amazing. I mean, this is, I'm looking at this portrait right now. It is, that's amazing work. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Very beautiful.
The jewelry and the dress she's wearing is authentic. It would have been her grandmother's. Mm. So we put her into that.
Looks very special.
Like, thank you.
Serious.
Thank
I don't you. Know what's on that jewelry, but it looks very special.
A lot of pearls and diamonds to paint.
Pearls and diamonds. Yeah. So Garrett, did you want to add in on this and ask something?
Yes, I would, Kieran. Certainly, my friend. Thank you. I'd like to point out that Ms. Green here is also the artist who has in the past painted boxer Mike Tyson, who trained in Catskill, New York, and she's also painted his trainer, the late Cus D'Amato, as well as Mr. Rooney.
Yes. Nice. Yes.
Which Rooney?
Kevin.
Kevin Rooney. Kevin Rooney.
Kevin Rooney.
Who was
Mike's trainer.
Who was actually Mike's trainer.
Yeah.
Besides Cus D'Amato.
Yes. Yes.
This is fantastic. As I say, I feel like I'm dreaming, but it's absolutely mind-boggling how I met Mr. Parker initially and now Ms. Green, because I met Mr. Parker via two customers from where I work, Walgreens here in Hudson, New York, Linda Schatzabel and her lovely sister Vicky or Victoria Signorelli. And as I mentioned on the previous broadcast, their Signorelli family are descendants of an artist who worked with Michelangelo on the Sistine Chapel, a Signorelli from Sicily, Italy. And they have been fantastic friends and some of our best customers there at Walgreens, where, by the way, we're still red-nosing until Red Nose Day. The actual day is May 24th. And we're ranking up those red noses as the proceeds we sell them out to customers, because the proceeds go to help undernourished children in poverty throughout the world. And as I say, it's a lot of fun and whimsy for a great cause. It's absolutely amazing there, the spirit in that store. In fact, almost a week ago now, I received a Champion of Champions award plaque for our district. So now I'm sort of looked at as a representative for our district, and our store is now 100% for customer service in our district. And that is a yearly nomination at Walgreens, and it's very notable because my coworkers had to collectively gather to nominate me that in conjunction with agreement with the corporate headquarters and the district manager. And I'd just like to say to all of you, thank you. Ever so much. The customers, my fellow co-workers and management, and it's absolutely amazing what we have going there. So let's keep red-nosing away and keep all the positivity up to par here, my friends.
Thank you, Garrett. That was awesome. And speaking of Walgreens, we just had a caller from Walgreens call in with a question for Mr. John Parker.
Okay.
So Vicky from Walgreens is listening, and she's really excited to hear all this and is fascinated and wants to know, is this piece that you're working on right now, is it the final puzzle piece of the story, or is it just the beginning?
Victoria, thank you so much for that question. And in German, we call that a Gretchenfrage. A Gretchenfrage is the seminal question of any matter. It comes from Faust, Goethe's Faust. And that answer requires two answers. So your question, rather, requires two answers. The first, it is the beginning of the final chapter as far as the identity of the woman known as Eugenia Smitisko, sometimes Eugenie Smitisko, sometimes Eugenia Smith, whichever culture she was accommodating herself to. If we can determine that through DNA that she was indeed Anastasia, then we can reunite her with her family. It is also the beginning, though, of Victoria, of another chapter, and I'd like to know, I'm sure the world will want to know, how did she live so long under a pseudonym, dismissed by everyone, especially after she passed a 30-hour polygraphic test given to her in 1963 by Cleve Baxter, who's the father of the CIA polygraph detection unit. She did pass that, and that was reported on in the press at that time, but then she was dismissed, and everybody said, well, you know, she's dead, so she can't be alive. Well, as you know, truth is stranger than fiction, and I think we're ending one chapter and beginning a brand new book. And the world is on tether hooks, I think, and I'm very honored that it would be in Hudson, New York, that we could first bring this to the listening audience. And if this is archived, people from around the world will be wanting to listen to your program. So thank you, and to your channel, and Garrett, and
yeah,
both of you. And Victoria, thank you for that call. Wonderful question.
Thank you, Victoria. Also, and John Parker, if you could just tell folks again the name of your book. We're talking about Anastasia Romanov of the Russian aristocracy, the Grand Duchess, and who is buried here in Herkimer County. This is fascinating history. People should look into it. What is the name of this book you wrote specifically?
Thank you again. The title is Anastasia Again, The Hidden Secret of the Romanovs. It is only available through the publisher at the moment, and that's at tsarism.com, T-S-A-R-I-Z-M.com. And then in December, it will be in bookstores, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, because in pre-production right now, we have a documentary geared up, which should be on one of the big channels in the United States and around the world. And around end of November, beginning of December, that will be released internationally.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And it's great to have you too, Barbara Green, here with your amazing artistry. Anything else you wanted to add to this fantastic story?
I hope it has a happy ending.
would you have a half a moment that I may ask her something for
please
you?
Please do. Please ask.
Barbara brought something up to me once we were already done with the painting about her previous research and her other exhibitions and how they sort of substantiated Evgenia's claim that she did indeed survive. And Barbara, could you just touch on that for a brief moment? I know they're probably under the wire here, but if you could please tell us.
No, please do. No pressure.
I was doing a series on the Holocaust, and in my reading, I discovered that, as you probably know, there were mass executions that occurred in the forests and all in Russia and Poland. A lot of people were thrown in the pits after they were shot, but they found out subsequently that there were people who survived because they had enough bodies on top of them. And if there was a window of air that they could get in, they would claw their way to the top and then escape into the forest. So it is conceivable that they thought she was dead and she wasn't.
Could you also mention the Spanish Inquisition and the idea of living in public under one identity, but actually in reality adhering to another?
Living a double life in a sense. You know, the Muranos, of course, went through a false conversion so that they could survive as Jews and live their lives that way. So it is possible. And of course, she would have had to be very careful because I'm sure if they had found her, they would have murdered her as the only living heir. See, they had to get rid of all of them. They couldn't have any survivors as far as they were concerned.
As one Romanov descendant told me, she said, you never knew who was going to jump out of the bushes with a poison-tipped umbrella and end your life, even in exile in Europe and in America. During the Cold War, there was a lot of fear.
Well, my own father was in Siberia. He came here in 1918 during the Russian Revolution, but he and my grandmother and the family were sent there, but they got out. It could be done.
Good for them. That's an old famous line about being sent to Siberia. it usually meant you were done for, or according to most people, that's the concept they had of it. But right. obviously, you're living proof it wasn't always true, Barbara. And also, my friend, kudos to my friends David and Carrie Linter. I was going to have David join us, once a resident of the famous Chelsea Hotel. However, sadly, they're down due to the loss of Carrie's mom in Brooklyn. They will be up to be actually hosting my birthday at their home on Wednesday, May 9th, there in 2 days. My 39th birthday, everyone. Can't believe it. But Mr. They're of Jewish background, David and Carrie Linter. And Carrie is often following stories such as yours, Ms. Green. She would be extremely interested in this regarding the Holocaust. She's very passionate about her research on it.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yes,
it was
thank
a
you
pleasure.
Very much.
It's
been a pleasure. What an honor.
Deeply, deeply honored and glad that you guys came into the Monday afternoon show to share your book and your art and your insight, and I appreciate it.
Spasiba.
Thank
so
you
much more than welcome.
Yeah. So, on this anniversary of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, 1924. This happened. We'll be right back. I think we have Catherine Ayers. Is she calling in?
She certainly is, along with her friend down in Corpus Christi, Texas. Catherine is in Poughkeepsie, New York, by the way. But there's Armando Camina, and he has a gratitude project going, similar along the lines of the Positivity Group.
Okay, let's get them on the line. So, John Parker, Barbara Green, thank you again.
Mr. Parker,
really appreciate it.
Green,
okay. Yeah, we'll see you soon.